we will stop here for today. Despised and Rejected, Part 2, Our Two Thoughts, Facing Scorners, verses 1 to 14, and Enduring Inflicted Pain, verses 15 to 22. We were at verse 10 at the end of last week. They abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. And we saw how Job was a type of Christ, how the Lord, when he was upon earth, he had to endure all the scorning, all the mocking that came from his own people. It was the Jews who, on the one day, they were singing Hosanna, and on the other day, they were singing Crucify Him. The Lord who had given them the promise of life if they would come to Him, yet they spurned it. And it is no wonder that the whole of Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The witness was totally destroyed for 2,000 years. You know, when they were deported to Babylon, this morning we saw how they will not keep the Sabbath year. They will not keep the Jubilee, the 50 years. And after missing 70 times of the Sabbath year, 490 years, the Lord cast them out of the land. And Israel was back in the land after 70 years. But this second castaway was for 2,000 years, and they never really recovered, even after God allowed them to come back. That's the sad reality of depravity. Depravity of the mind, depravity of the man. It is the nature of sin. Last Sunday we saw from the old world before the flood to the new world after the flood, what passed from there, 8 sin natures. How sad it is. This week we will see how Noah was drunk. He was drunk after the flood. We see how weak man is, and therefore it behooves us to not think too highly of ourselves. When we think that we stand, we will fall. Lest we fall, may the Lord grant us the grace to keep close to Him all the time. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, as you see in the lives of so many of the saints that is recorded in the Bible. But God does send affliction to His people. And here in verse 11, we see, it says here, because He hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose the bridle before me. They expressed the greatest scorn and indignation. Very sad, right? How human nature has that kind of a unsanctified and base emotions. But this is the reality. And this is the reality of the depravity of men, and we must not be surprised when we are confronted and when we face these things. Right? They spat in His face, Matthew Henry says, and were ready to do so. They tripped up His heels, pushed away His feet, kicked Him, even in wrath, because they hated Him. Right? You remember our Lord was slapped in the face because He claimed that He was the Son of God. They slapped Him on the face. Wow, how humiliating it is. Right? We don't want this to happen to us. In sports, to make themselves merry with Him as they did with their companions at football. The best of saints have sometimes received the worst of injuries and indignities from a spiteful, scornful, wicked world, and must not think it strange our master himself was thus abused. Remember Peter when he first began to share the word after the Pentecost, how there was a great movement of the Holy Spirit and many were saved, and he was thrown into prison. But the Lord was there for him, and the Lord opened the doors of the prison to allow him to get out. And so when he went back to the group who were gathered together, they were all so surprised to see him. Ah, is that really Peter? Rhoda was the one at the door, right? And she was so surprised. Was it a coincidence? No. The Lord had sent his angels to deliver. And you would see that in the face of persecutions, in the face of indignities, abuse, you see that God is not far from his people, although he would allow them to go through certain, you may say, unbearable, indignities that can come upon us. But what is there? As you go on to want to share the gospel, you would realize that you would face opposition. The opposition come in very, oftentimes, fierce way, and there would be intimidation, right? There would be great threatenings, but you would realize that because there is a soul at stake, you see, something is working and something is opposing. And so the Lord bids us to see, and as you look at the afflictions that Job described himself to go through, do not be surprised if you are on the path of the work to face such oppositions, and sometimes you may say even to face these indignities. Upon my right hand rise the youth, they pushed away my feet, they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. They were very malicious against him, Matthew Henry wrote, and not only made a jest of him, but made a prey of him, not only affronted him, but set themselves to do all the real mischief they could devise. They raised up against me the ways of their destruction. And here he said, well, it is common for criminals to hate judges and laws by which they are punished. You face affliction and you hate the rod that comes to you. But for the child of God, you realize that when we are chastised by God, we know that it is for our good and we are willing to bear it. Verse 13. They mar my path, they set forward my calamity, they have no helper. They accuse him falsely, they misrepresented his past righteous living, his former conversation. Here is described, Matthew Henry said, well, marring his path. They mar my path. You know what's his life, his testimony, they twisted. Right? They reflected him as a tyrant, as an oppressor, because he had done justice upon them. and because his friends allow this to come upon him, no one's defended him, stopped this attacks, and therefore he faced these indecencies. Right? Job 22 verse 6 to 10 describes these falsehoods. Right? For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked for their clothing. Right? So they said this is what he did. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. They sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. So here Job is, you may say it, faced this maligning. And it's difficult to explain. Right? How do you explain yourself in this such a situation? Well, the only way is to commit our ways to the Lord. Let the Lord handle, commit the matter to heaven. And this is how the children of God have that strength to endure persecutions and whatever misgivings that comes, because we know that we have a righteous judge. And he's all-powerful. He's the El Shaddai. Therefore, we know that we can trust him. We know that he has the ability, and he is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his justice. And so the people of God can rest comforted, right? That God himself will see to their vindication. And as you read the Bible, you will see many, many examples whereby, right, injustices were right. In this, they have no helper. Nobody set them on or to countenance them in it. Nobody to bear them out or protect them. But they do it of their own accord. They are fools in other things, but wise enough to do mischief. That is what Matthew Henry describes, this perpetuator of mischief who disturb the peace of Job. Need no help in inventing that. In other words, the fallen mind is very fertile, you know, in inventing ways to do evil, do harm. And to do good, that's something that you would find requires the help from above. And therefore, we said, the only way by which the world can be changed is the preaching of the gospel. Unless a man is born again, unless the man would have the Spirit of God in him, and the Spirit of God contend with him, within him, that contention would cause him to surrender to God and to restrain the evil. Unless this corruption is restrained, you'll find that evil is indeed evil. And therefore, we shudder. But we see that God works a new nature, and God gives a new nature in us, and that new nature has that power to overcome, that power to do good. That's the life of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth. Did he face, what did he get for all the good that he had done? Well, very soon, after he did many good works, he had to speak in parables. Remember he said that he had to speak in parables because it was a time when every word that comes out of him, they would take and they would twist to accuse him. Therefore, he spoke in a way that his disciples would be able to understand. At the same time, his enemies could not indict him. So how the Lord, by this living example of everyday life, was able to put forth the message and give the picture concerning his kingdom and what his kingdom is like. Verse 14. They came upon me as a white breaking in of waters, like a dart or a dam broken. When a dart and a dam is broken, then the waters would gush out. And, you know, if it's a big dam, you'll find that when the dam is broken, then it destroys all that comes along the way. Right? We are seeing some of this happening around the world today, right? How when dams are broken, right, whole villages, even cities can be swept away. Because once the dam is broken and the water gushed, right, you'll find that everything goes with it, including concrete. Right? Every hard object, every hard metal comes, and the flow is usually a downstream flow, and the gush of the torrent of the wave is so great, so powerful, that it will sweep everything along its way. So this is serious, and this is what we are seeing today in China. What is the dam broken, and how it is causing and creating so much devastation. They came upon me as a white breaking in of waters. You know, the gushing is so fast and so catching everything in its way by surprise. Okay. And so, trampled upon, he seemed to have no recourse. Job articulated his misgivings and maltreatment, so that we can understand and not be surprised when we ourselves face the full weight of human depravity in our trials. How unbearable, and yet this is what our Lord speaks of when he said to his disciples in Matthew 5:10-12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." In other words, you cannot argue. That's why our Lord was silent. He was as a sheep, dumb, brought to the slaughter. Nothing to say. Why? Because nothing would be heard. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So when Stephen, after he shared the gospel, he was so happy. He was looking up to heaven and he saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father, welcoming him. The others could not see, but he saw. He knew what he was doing. This was a work that God has entrusted to him. Right? As our Lord says, they can take the body, but the soul they cannot. And the body that is lost, God will recreate again. But the soul that is lost, that's it. The soul cannot be recouped or replaced. And therefore, it behooves us to think, right? And the Lord says to us, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Indeed, the soul is so precious, so important. We can hardly understand the importance of the soul, the preciousness of the soul. And the Lord used all the things that you can see around you to compare it. And the Lord wants us to see that nothing is as precious as the soul. And for Job, well, he was contending for his soul. It was a testimony of, for the sake of souls, that if you are a child of God and you truly walk with God, then you will face these persecutions. Matthew 5 verse 9, before Matthew 5 verse 10, before the persecution, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemaker, the Lord says, are blessed because they use their influence to promote peace and charity on earth, both in private and in public, at home and abroad, says J.C. Ryle. Very well. They are doing what Jesus himself is doing. So the peacemakers are those who, by their deliberate action, promote peace to those whom they reach out to. So when our Lord Jesus met Zacchaeus, remember? Zacchaeus was trying to get near to the Lord. So he climbed up. He was small in stature. He climbed up the sycamore tree. And our Lord stared right at him from where he was, out of the sycamore tree, and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. The Lord is visiting him. Right? He was a tax collector. He had, a man who has gained much by cheating. So he said that I will restore fourfold whatever that I have taken, and half of my goods I would give it. So he, in other words, he's saying is that he's repenting. Right? There was a genuine repentance on his side, and he realized that he has broken the commandments of God, and he was willing to come back to God. He was willing to walk with God, and therefore he has received peace in his heart. He has received peace in his mind, in his soul, because he has realized the peace that God would give him before the flood. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Right? And Albert Einstein, he won the Nobel Peace Prize for Physics in 1921, whose theory of relativity revolutionized man's thinking about the nature of time and space. In the course of his lecture in 1948, he made the following comment on the threat of nuclear warfare. He says, "It is not a physical problem, but an ethical one. What terrifies us is not the explosive force of the atomic bomb, but the power of wickedness of the human heart, its explosive power for evil." So when Henry Truman came into office, right, he was second to Roosevelt. Roosevelt was the president, but halfway through the duration of the war, Roosevelt suddenly collapsed and died. And he had to quickly be sworn in. And then he was given the knowledge of the preparation of the making of the atomic bomb. The bomb, the two bombs that would change the course of human history. And how the developments that came after he was given that knowledge, and how he had to make a decision concerning how this bomb would end the conflict that would be taking place, and how, you know, there would be a lot of evil, a lot of pain that would be inflicted as a result. Well, what is the cause of it all? It is said here by Albert Einstein, the power of wickedness of the human heart is explosive power for evil. And this is what Job experienced. And so that's the first part from verse 1 to 14. And from verse 15 to 22, you would see how he was enduring the inflicted pain. Right? Pain came upon him. Verse 15 says, "Terrors are upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passed away as a cloud." He was pushed to the dead end, like the Israelites facing the Red Sea after fleeing Egypt with Pharaoh's army on the chase behind. And as Daniel, when he was thrown in the lion's den for continuing to pray three times a day facing Jerusalem. There seemed to be no recourse for him from the barrage of ill-willed people insisting on falsely judging him guilty, just like Naboth in King Ahab's kangaroo court, set up by evil Jezebel. Verse 16. "And now my soul is poured out upon me. The affliction, the days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and my sinews take no rest." When the body is afflicted and the mind bombarded by provocations, it is indeed hard to bear. Day and night, he felt himself tormented. There seemed no relief. Matthew Henry says, well, he says, we see in Job a type of Christ. And he was thus made a reproach of men and despised of the people. Psalm 22, verse 6. Last week we were looking at it. When our Lord cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Has God forsaken him? No. It was his prayer as he drew close to God. In the time of our affliction, it must cause us to draw even closer to God. That's why Paul says to the church, pray unceasingly. How to pray unceasingly? Well, if you are afflicted and you find yourself having no recourse, the only way is to stay on the Lord. Only when you stay on the Lord, that's where you would find relief. And therefore, the people of God need to cultivate the kind of a spiritual strength through fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 of Psalm 6 says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." Isaiah 1 verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." How sad it is, right? Israel, brought up by the Father, and yet they have rebelled against the Father. Well, this is the sad plight of men. And God is seeking to win back. God is seeking to win back for himself a people. And we are tasked as his ambassadors, so that men can be reconciled to God through the Christ. That is the good news. When we have it, you'll find that the Lord gives you that strength to do his bidding, even amidst destructive forces all over. The power of God prevail with his people, with his servants. So may the Lord encourage our hearts, strengthen us, if any one of us is in any distress, to look to him, to count on him to help us. He will not fail us. He has never failed us, and he never will. May the Lord strengthen us by his grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy mercy in helping us to study Job and his afflictions, to know, Lord, that thou dost not afflict easily. And thou knowest what we go through in our affliction. Lord, help us. that we would do that which is right and pleasing in thy sight. And in afflictions, though they may come, when we do that is which is pleasing in thy sight, we have the assurance of thy grace to help us, to see us through. So Lord, strengthen thy people by thy almighty hand, and bless thy people with thy grace to walk with thee. Cleanse us of all our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. For in his name we pray. Amen.